Welcome back to Peace Week 2011. This is Emily Hine, the Chief of Peace with the SHIFT Network, and we are so grateful to have tens of thousands of people joining us for Peace Talks this week, starting today and culminating on the International Day of Peace next Wednesday, September 21st. The topics we are hosting this week span the peace continuum, from inner peace to international peace, and in fact, our speaker this afternoon will focus a lot on inner peace. This morning, many of you may have joined us as we heard from renowned social healer James O'Dea. We also heard from author, poet, and activist Alice Walker. And just about an hour and a half ago, we concluded a fascinating panel discussion on the interfaith response to 9/11. Don't worry if you missed any of these great talks. They are recorded and available to you for free as a participant in the summit. In a few moments, I'll introduce our keynote speaker this afternoon, Rita Marie Johnson from the Reserve Foundation. Before that, I just want to let you know, if you have any trouble during the call itself, maybe a technical issue, just go ahead and touch 5 on your touchtone phone, and someone will be with you to help you out. Also, as we progress through the week, we continue to have conversations using the SHIFT Network Facebook page. So if you feel inspired and you want to post questions for our speakers or engage in dialogue with other listeners or spread the word to your friends about what you're embarking upon during this Peace Week journey, feel free to visit facebook.com/shiftnetwork. That's facebook.com/shiftnetwork, and that's just a great place to interact. We really want to create community with all of these Peace Talks this week. It's not just about hearing from the presenters, but it's about hearing from you and from each other. So I'm very excited about introducing Rita Marie Johnson. I've had the great fortune of meeting her in person in Washington, D.C. at a conference that was held by the Peace Alliance, which, as many of you know, is a co-producer of this Peace Summit this week. I also had the fantastic fortune of meeting with her in Costa Rica, where she moved from the United States in 1993 when she learned that Costa Rica didn't have an army. This has influenced her life greatly. Rita Marie Johnson now serves as director of the Reserve Foundation in Costa Rica, which she founded in 1998. And there's also a Reserve Foundation International, which was founded in the United States in 2009. In 2002, she created Be Peace. This is a practice she'll speak more about this afternoon. It combines a scientifically tested method for feeling peace and a sure path for speaking peace. It helps us all create an authentic, compassionate connection. And in fact, Be Peace won the Ashoka Changemaker Innovation Award and was chosen from among 79 projects in 32 countries. It's been implemented in 18 schools in Costa Rica, and it's actually starting to be offered here in the United States, where many of us are from, but there are also over 145 other countries represented during the Peace Summit this week, so we're hoping Be Peace might be coming to a country near you soon. She has so many great credentials on her resume. I know her as a woman who embodies peace in everything that she does and teaches peace to others. So we are very honored to have her join us today. Welcome, Rita Marie Johnson. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about humanity's peace story.
Thank you, Emily. It's a pleasure to be here and wonderful to reconnect with you.
Yes, I agree. I was excited when we saw that you were able to participate. I said, oh, I'd love to host Rita Marie. I feel just such a great sense of compassion and gratitude for how you do peace in the world. And so that makes me inspired to ask you a question more about what originally inspired your work. How did you get involved in all of this?
Well, Emily, I've known since I was 10 years old that I would work for peace. But I never really felt like I was on track with my mission until I heard that Costa Rica didn't have an army, as you mentioned a little earlier. So that news inspired me to begin imagining a national model of peace. And so, as you said, I moved to Costa Rica, and I wanted to learn from this culture and to find out, you know, really what happens to a country when they abolish their army and begin identifying with peace. And I wanted to see if there was a way I could contribute to strengthening the model of peace that they'd already created. So after arriving there, I learned of an epic poem called Razur. And this poem tells the story of a mysterious teacher who comes to the mountains of Costa Rica, and he silently calls all the children from a nearby village into the mountain. And there, in the mountain, he begins to teach them about the wisdom and the compassion within their hearts. And when the parents realize all the children have disappeared they begin searching for them, calling up and down the mountain. Well, suddenly, they hear the children singing inside the mountain, Razur, 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 which is the name of their peace teacher. But the parents aren't able to move inside the mountain like the children have. And so finally, at the end of the day, the children come out and they share with their parents what they've learned from Razur. Well, now the parents realize that their children are having an extraordinary experience. And they allow the children to return in the mountain the following day and the next day and the next. And each day, as the children share with their parents what they've learned from Razur, the villagers begin to change. And soon they find themselves living in a culture of peace. And then at the end of the week, Razur tells the children that he has to go on and teach other children in the world. So the children come out of the mountain one last time, and they share with their parents what they've learned. And now the whole village there enters into a dialogue. And one of the parents says, you know, before directing the lightning in the sky, we must first harness the storms in our own hearts. And the villagers all agree that if they can embody what Razur taught them, then perhaps all of Costa Rica could become a culture of peace. Well, this poem was written in 1946, and their army was unexpectedly abolished in 1948, so the poem was really prophetic. Wow. And after realizing this, I was inspired to look deeper into this 85-page epic poem. And within it, I found the principles of peace education that I had been longing for. And I saw that Razur, the peace teacher, was pointing to wisdom and compassion as the keys to peace. So after understanding this, I began to look then for methods that could lead me directly to my wisdom and compassion. And in that search, I discovered the Institute of Heart Math, and their research on heart-brain coherence and their methods for tapping heart intelligence, which is really another way of saying wisdom. So from them, I learned how to achieve heart-brain coherence, and I found that it led me to a feeling of peace and also a more direct path to my own wisdom. So I would say that this discovery, more than any other, has changed my life. However, there was still a missing piece for me in terms of being on track with this mission to work for peace, and that was the how-to of compassion. So I heard about Marshall Rosenberg and his method called nonviolent communication, and I decided to take a course with him. And in that course, I came to realize that it's our universal needs are what really connect us as human beings. These are needs like belonging and respect, emotional safety, and many others. And I found that by naming these needs in our language, that we can actualize the connection with ourselves and with others. And so the magic part of it is that when we do that, our hearts tend to just open, and suddenly we find ourselves being more compassionate. So I found that this language of universal needs was the how-to of compassion that I was seeking. So just to summarize, originally the poem Razur inspired me to look for ways to embody peace through wisdom and compassion. And then later, the Institute of Heart Math and Nonviolent Communication inspired me because of the clarity of their how-tos for accessing wisdom and compassion.
Beautiful. And so I know that some of the listeners today will want to know how they can find a copy of that poem. That's one of the first things I want to ask. Is it called Razur?
The full name is Razur or Week of Splendor, because it was a whole week that Razur was there with the village. And you can find that poem on our website. You can razurinternational.org.
Great. That's great. And so RazurInternational.org, that is fantastic. So that will help for those of you who are on the webcast if you want to look up a little more information about Razur Foundation and what they're doing. So you talk about the Institute of Heart Math influencing you, and also nonviolent communication and Marshall Rosenberg's work, and the understanding of universal needs and the how-to of compassion. Is that in essence what the Be Peace practice is, or do you have some specific steps that you might be able to educate us with this afternoon?
Sure. Well, after I learned how to achieve heart-brain coherence from the Institute of Heart Math and how to connect to my own universal needs through nonviolent communication, I put these two methods together. And what I discovered is that there was a synergy between them. In other words, they each enhanced the other in a way that was really magical for me. And so I began to experiment with this, and I found as I experienced challenges in daily life, that if I used coherence and connection together, that I can move through these issues with greater grace, with greater ease. So essentially what I did was combine coherence and connection, and I named that synergistic combination Be Peace. So we began teaching this in public schools in 2004. And as you said, we're now offering in the United States, after the courses we offered this summer, we offered six 32-hour courses this summer. We've now taught over 500 people in the United States at our 32-hour Foundations course.
And so once those people are trained, what do they do to help spread Be Peace in the world?
Well, when people walk out of our course, they are able to use the Be Peace practice, which I worked for years to simplify to the point that it could be very easily utilized in daily life. Like no matter what is coming at you, that you're able to process it in a way that helps you to move forward. And how they do that is by learning how to directly access their wisdom and their compassion in the moments when they need it most. Mm-hmm. So consequently, they can resolve problems or conflicts in 10 minutes instead of 10 years. And they can move from stress or lack of peace back to peace very efficiently. So I want to say that, you know, Be Peace is not a cure-all, and it's certainly not the only way to get to peace. And, of course, to have success, you have to choose it when you have issues that take you away from peace. And, of course, it's when we're stressed and not peaceful that it's oftentimes most difficult to use what we know, you know.
Right.
So Be Peace is like any other method in that way. In other words, we have to practice it, and we have to then actually decide to use it when we have issues that come along in daily life. But if we do choose to use it, it works in a very efficient way to help us to bring both of these wonderful qualities within us, the aspect of our being that is wisdom and that is compassion, and to get wisdom and compassion to work together to help us to move forward in life instead of getting stuck.
Mm.
And at the same time, I just another little important piece here, Emily, is that Be Peace helps us also to gain self-acceptance in those moments when we don't choose to practice what we know or when we say things that aren't peaceful. You know, we always say in our work that it's be peace, not be perfect. So,
oh, that's great.
Yes, because, you know, oftentimes when we think about working for peace, we automatically go into this critical parent that says that we have to be perfect all the time, and that's actually what kept me from really being on track with my mission for many years, is that, you know, I just didn't see any way to be perfectly peaceful all the time. So in what we teach, it helps people not only to grow in their ability to embody peace, but to accept themselves as they move along that path.
I think that that is one of the most important things that we can communicate through this entire Peace Week Summit, that sense of self-acceptance and self-compassion. Because even when we're in the heat of the moment, if we can get to a place of self-acceptance and compassion, then I think we're able to get to that place of making the choice of what's the next thing we want to do. So I'm really, really pleased that you brought that up. I've noticed myself, I've taken nonviolent communication courses, and I so resonated with what you spoke about in terms of connecting with your own needs as a way to then therefore be able to connect with the needs of others and what are those universal needs that bring us together. So I'm just so grateful for your clear articulation of the Be Peace program, especially as we think about this path of inner peace and how it can lead to eventually international peace.
Yes, absolutely.
You spoke, and when we talked about your talk today, we asked you what title you'd like, and you said Humanity's Peace Story. And I've been curious to ask you, what do you mean by Humanity's Peace Story?
Well, it seems to me we need a new story for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the story of Razur is one that is universal and can be replicated around the world. Because just like Razur taught the children in the mountain about the wisdom and compassion in their hearts as a way to create peace in their village, teachers in our modern-day classrooms can do the same. You know, mm-hmm. a teacher in their classroom is just like Razur inside the mountain. If mm-hmm. the teachers know how to evoke the wisdom and compassion that's already within the children so that they can learn how to be peaceful, how to use their own qualities of wisdom and compassion to continually process life in a way that keeps them returning to peace and keeps them growing. So we also know that as the children learn the how-to of peace, that they're going to influence their parents and their mm-hmm. community. So their community can become a culture of peace just like the village in the poem. So to me, that story we know now is replicable. We've done it in the United States to some degree, and we've certainly done it in Costa Rica. And by replicating this story, what we're doing is creating a world where every person can practice peace and pass this gift to the next generation. And I'm sure that generational violence is going to melt away when we put our emphasis on creating generational peace through this kind of impactful peace education. So that's the peace story for humanity we're aiming for in Razur Foundation.
And so therefore, the Be Peace program being offered in schools, what's your dream? Is your dream that it would be offered in, you know, X number of schools and X number of countries? What's your vision for the Be Peace program?
Well, I'd love to see it offered in every school in the world. Right now, I'm focused on the United States, and the immediate goal that we have is to get a $500 scholarship for every teacher in the United States who is willing to take the Be Peace course so that we can fund the teachers into the course so they can get the course and begin teaching it in their classrooms. So that is, you know, very specifically what we want to see. We want to generate a $500 scholarship for every teacher so that we can get it to the teachers efficiently, and they can pass it on to the children, and then the children influence their parents, and it's a ripple effect.
Oh, that's outstanding. We will help hold that vision for the $500 scholarship for every teacher in the United States and, of course, in other countries who also are inspired to support the program and to put it in the hands of those teachers who are in front of our children every single day during the school year. I remember, Rita Marie, when we were in Washington, D.C., you told a story about a young boy, and I'm sure you have dozens of them, but it was about a young boy who had been upset by something in the schoolyard or something was happening. He was about to get into a fight, and you walked him through the Be Peace process. I wonder if you'd be willing to share that short story with us.
Sure. I remember Jose well. Jose was a fifth grader who came to one of our Saturday mediation trainings where we teach the students to be mediators. And when he arrived, he was very restless and, you know, sort of punching around on the other kids. And so we started the day by teaching heart-brain coherence using biofeedback software from the Institute of Heart Math. And so as he participated in that, he began to calm down and to find this power within himself to find peace. And so that helped initially. And then at the end of the day, I happened to be walking up to his group, and I saw him sitting there. And so I asked him if he'd had any conflict in the last week that he'd like to process with me. And he said, well, yes, you know, he says, I failed a test this week, and I was so mad. I went out on the playground, and I pulled a girl's hair, and I pulled her all the way across the playground by her hair. And I said, well, that's a good place to start. Let's start right there. And so we began to process his feelings and his needs. And so I was just guessing, which is what we learn to do in BPs, is to guess empathically what the other person might be feeling or needing, and then they can tell us if we've guessed correctly. And so I was just guessing that he felt really angry, and that he was really needing success, needing to achieve on these exams. And then we went a little deeper, and I said, are you feeling lonely and really need to feel like you belong in this school, in this classroom? And he went on to tell me that, yes, he was feeling very lonely. And then I just further guessed his feelings and needs around his performance and asked if he was feeling some despair, really, because he'd failed many exams. And he said yes. And as he expressed this big tear comes down his cheek. Mm-hmm. And then I knew that, you know, I'd really connected with him. You know, obviously it's not that we want for people to cry, but what we know is that if we don't connect with those feelings of sadness and despair over issues in our life, that then we tend to project them as violence, and which is exactly what had happened to him. He'd felt all those feelings of loneliness and sadness and hurt and anger and hadn't known where to put them. And so in helping him name them and name the needs, he was able then to claim them, you know, to feel them for himself and call them his own. And even though he experienced it as sadness, that then it was released in an appropriate way. So I asked him then, after we finished together, whether next time he has a test and maybe he struggles with it or doesn't do well, if he might still feel the need to go out and pull someone's hair. And he said very proudly to me, no, because now I can find my own feelings and needs.
Oh, beautiful.
So this is really the heart of the whole matter, you know, is to be able to feel our feelings without reacting to them and be able to get back to peace, feel peace in our hearts, so that we can make better choices.
I love that story. It touched me the first time that I heard it in almost in its simplicity. And it's what I love about what it illustrates is that the moment we as human beings give each other empathy, whether it's an adult to a child or an adult to another adult or child to child, it helps us drop into our hearts. And that's where the true connection is. Whereas the outbursts, the tantrums, you know, that we can throw as adults as well as kids, that's more frustrated feeling. We almost don't know what our needs are. So in that moment, when you gave him empathy, you both were able to drop into your hearts, connect, and uncover what he needed. And that does help us create a new story. When we can operate heart to heart, we're on a much closer path to peace. Rita Marie, I'm wondering if you'd be willing to take just a couple questions from people in our audience before we wrap up. How does that sound?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Great. If you have a question for Rita Marie, go ahead and touch 1 on your touchtone phone. Or if you are on the webcast, you can also type in a question. And we'll be happy to just take maybe 1 or 2 questions before we wrap up today. And it looks like we've got a question from Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Rita Marie. This is Jim. I'm in California. My wife is a kindergarten school teacher. She's at work right now. And I'm a U.S. 2012 U.S. presidential candidate myself. My name is Jim Martineau. I have my question is, how if let's say things went great and I became president, or really just any president, if you had an ideal president in office right now in the United States in 2012, what would your suggestions be to improve our overall educational system? How can we incorporate things like be peace into the entire system? What would you do in the bigger, broad picture of education?
Well, first of all, we are going to be implementing be peace in a school in Houston. Oakley Elementary in Houston will be the first school where we fully implement be peace. So, you know, that would be a place to look for an example, for a model, once we have fully implemented it there. We've been doing this since 2004 in Costa Rica, so we've been able to train teachers in Costa Rica. Actually, for a full week, the Ministry of Education in Costa Rica allows us to train the teachers on salaried time for a full week, so that once they finish that week, they can go back into their classrooms and do it. You know, we have a classroom program, which is six activities that help the kids learn how to repeat this practice. In other words, BPs is a practice, not a curriculum. So these six activities repeated frequently through the year are what help the kids to know how exactly to handle stress or issues or conflict as they come up in their days. So I would say that's the first step, is to make time in the system for the teachers to receive the training. I mentioned earlier that I'd like to have a $500 scholarship for every teacher that is willing to take the BPs course to come and take it, and that would include the course plus their classroom kit. But our real challenge around that is that the only time that we have to train teachers in our 32-hour course is in the summertime. And so it makes it, you know, very difficult to get to a lot of teachers efficiently because of the limited training time they have available. And we know that the 32-hour course works most efficiently because it's immersion. And if we try to spread it out over time, it just is painfully slow for people to get it, to really be able to walk out and teach this to others. So we need the minimum of 32 hours for a person to get it and be able to walk out with a skill for life and be able to teach it in their classrooms. So that's number one, is to create the time for BP's training of teachers, and fund it, of course. And then the second thing is that we have a president in Costa Rica right now. Her name is President Laura Chinchilla. And I've known her for some time. I knew her when she was Minister of Justice before she was a presidential candidate. And Laura's philosophy is prevention. I've heard people ask her about increasing the number of police and so on as there are more security issues in Costa Rica. And she says, well, I know we need police, but where my emphasis is on prevention of violence, prevention of crime. And that's why she is so solidly behind our program. And so when you have a president behind your program, you know, that makes a huge difference. In other words, it needs to be bottom up through the school system and also top down. Prior to President Laura Chinchilla, we had President Oscar Arias, who was a Nobel Peace Prize laureate. And he also supported our work, and he is the one who welcomed our initiative for a Ministry for Peace in Costa Rica. So, just a second, I had to turn off my cell phone. And so, anyway, the Ministry for Peace was successful and was passed. Our bill was passed in 2009 because we had the support of a president. And I'd like to see a Department of Peace established in the United States with the support of a president, so that that Department of Peace could champion programs like BPs in public schools and help find ways to make the time to learn peace, to be able to practice peace. We know that once people learn how to practice peace, that it actually saves money, because we waste so much time and energy on you know, handling behavior problems in the classroom, in drugging the children, in all kinds of other in doing other kinds of strategies that that really are ultimately ineffective because they don't get at the cause. You know, the cause is in our inner lives. And once we learn the how-to of accessing what can help us, accessing our wisdom and compassion, then we can let go of other strategies like bullying, other, you know, strategies that we use to try to get our needs met, because we simply haven't learned any better way. And once we actually take the time to learn a practice, a skill, then we can shift the behavior, because we've got a we've got a new way of going about it.
That's right. That's right. And I really, I love the kind of the bookend conversation that we're having here. It's not just about, it is about teaching BP's practices and helping people access their wisdom and compassion. And what Jim brings up and what you articulate so beautifully is we also have to look at the systemic change. And Costa Rica has been so successful in that. And you, Rita Marie, were quite influential, of course, in bringing the Ministry for Peace Bill forth in Costa Rica when it was passed in 2009. And so those systems are also to be addressed. And I know that throughout Peace Week we'll be addressing that in some of the other talks that we're going to have later on. So it's both kind of top-down, bottom-up, outside-in, and inside-out. And many of the speakers that we'll have this week will complement, I think, some of the things that you're talking about today. We'll need to wrap up in a minute, but there were a couple of questions that I can see on the webcast, people wanting to know how to promote the model or how to take classes. And if you go to Rita Marie's website, it's Razur International, R-A-S as in Sam, U-R, international.org. And you can learn about Be Peace. You can learn about the poem she mentioned earlier on. You can learn about upcoming courses and events and how to contact and stay in touch. For those of you who are interested and you're on the phone line, we'd be happy to keep you informed. If you go ahead and hit 1 on your touch tone phone, we'll capture your emails and we'll send that to Rita Marie now or after the call. And so she'd be happy to just add you to her email list, which is very respectfully done. I'm on the list, and I don't get too much email, so thank you for that, Rita Marie. We're so grateful. It keeps us peaceful.
Yeah. I'm all for that.
Yeah. So any final comments before we wrap up and introduce some small groups for people who want to stay on board?
Well, I just want to express how hopeful I am right now, Emily, about what's happening with peace work in the world. This Peace Week is a wonderful example of that, where it's better connected from organization to organization than it ever has been. In other words, we're all working together in a more collaborative way than we ever have before. I think that we're more visible with our peace work than ever before and more effective as well. So I believe it's the time of the peacemaker. I believe it's the time for a new story for humanity. And we don't have to wait any longer. We have all of the knowledge that we need right now to make peace on Earth. And so I'm just so grateful that the Peace Alliance and the Shift Network have put this together so that we have this focus on peace and so that we make peace work visible in the world so that people can have hope and can see that peace on Earth is not just some kind of a remote idea or ideal, but that it's practical and that it's possible.
Beautifully said, and it does give us all hope when people like you have devoted their lives to making that possible. So Rita Marie, thank you so much for everything you're doing in the world. We are incredibly grateful to have you with us during Peace Week, and I look forward to our continued conversation about how we can play together as we move towards the Summer of Peace 2012. We have lots of great things planned, and we'd love to talk to you about how we can play together peacefully.
Well, that sounds great, Emily. I look forward to it.
As do I. For those of you who want to stay on, we will go ahead and break people into small groups, but just want to give people a preview of things to come this afternoon starting at 3 o'clock Pacific time. James O'Dea again will be on and hosting David Corton, who will talk about the peace economy. And then at 5 o'clock Pacific time, we'll have Steve Leeper, who is with the Mayors for Peace, and he'll bring a report from Hiroshima. So just a great afternoon planned. For those of you who'd like to stay on and break into small groups and talk about what you heard from Rita Marie or maybe some other personal peace practices that you've been engaging in and you want to share in dialogue for the next 30 minutes or so, touch 2 on your touch tone phone. And we will go ahead and break you into small groups. So if you'd like to stay and have a dialogue with others potentially in your country or around the world, hit 2 on your touchtone phone. We'll break you into small groups for discussion. Rita Marie, thank you again so much for being with us today, and we look forward to continuing the conversation.
My pleasure, Emily. Thanks for inviting me.
You bet. And thank you, everybody, for joining us for Peace Week 2011. We'll take a little time before our next call at 3 o'clock. The schedule will be sent out again for tomorrow in your email in the morning. Thank you, everybody. We can't do this alone, and it's just so wonderful for us to be gathering in this place together in the name of peace. Have a wonderful afternoon wherever you may be in the world, and we'll continue the conversation soon. Take care.